Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
What are we doing? We do all these verses together. That's what you did, Maha? Put all the verses together?
What do you think? You read from 13 or 17.
And what? Yeah? Where is it about 14 and 13 or something?
Yeah. No. Okay. Okay. Maybe I thought we did it together.
Huh?
I thought we did it together.
I thought we did. I have to do that, or I can just do the verse that I meditated on.
You can do whatever you please.
And it's like, you know, you told me 13, so I thought 13, and now it's 17. It's like.
No, I mean, when we. I thought we concluded 13 was too short, and 17 was really the worst. We didn't want to miss. And
at the end.
At the end. Anyway, now we have it.
Okay, so obviously, you know, if you don't
mind. No problem.
Jale Sumam Raksatu Machamuti. You can't see that. Jalo Ganevyo Vanasya Pasa. It's not necessary. Stale Sumaya Vatu Vamana Uyat Trivikrama Kevatu Vishvarupa.
Jale Su.
In the water.
Ma, me.
Raksatu.
Protect.
Matsyamurti. The Supreme Lord in the form of a great fish.
Yadaganevya.
From fierce aquatic animals.
Varunasya.
Of the demigod known as Varuna.
Pasa.
From the arresting rope.
Stadesu.
On the land.
Maya Vatu.
The merciful form of the Lord as a dwarf.
Vamana.
Named Vamande.
Avya.
May he protect.
Trivikrama.
Whose three gigantic steps.
Took the three worlds from Bali.
In the sky.
Avatu.
May the Lord protect.
Vishvarupa.
The gigantic universal form. Translation. May the Lord, who assumes the body of the great fish, protect me in the water from fierce animals that are associates of the demigod Varuna. By expanding his illusory energy, the Lord assumed the form of the dwarf Vamana. May Vamana protect me on the land, since the gigantic form of the Lord, Vishwarup, conquers the three worlds, may he protect me in the sky. Purport. This mantra seeks the protection of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the water, land, and sky, in his incarnations as the fish, Vamanadev, and the Vishwarup. Om Yanti Manasya Vyam Nasrakya Shakshur Nitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guru Vena Shri Chaitanya Mano Vidustam Stavitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamaya Dharati
Swaparantikam Vandeham Sri Sarasi Padakamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavam Sicha Sri Rupam Sarvajatam Sarvaravatam Vitantam Sajivam Sarvaitam Sarvadutam Prajana Saitam Krishna Chetam Vidreva Sri Radha Krishna Param Sahagamanamita Sri Sarvaravatam Sicha Hare Krishna, Arjuna Sindhu, Jinanando Jaspate, Gopesha Gopika Kantarada Kantamastate, Tata Kanchana Govangi, Rade Vrindavana Nishwari, Vrishabhamashtate, Brahmani Hariye, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Chanan, Sri Dhaji Gidara, Sri Vasadi Gopika,
Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Rama,
When the living beings are entering into the material world, all along the Supreme Personality of Godhead accompanies them. He is there present along with the living beings in so many ways. Of course, he is there as Paramatma. Dvasuparena sayujasakya, like two birds seated in a tree, one tasting the fruits and the other one giving advice, but the one who is busy with the material fruits, which in themselves are not satisfying. And that one is not hearing the good advice from the Super Soul. Also the Lord appears in so many incarnations. In Srimad Bhagavatam, it is said to deliver those who are situated in pure goodness. The Lord appears in so many incarnations, or to protect his devotees. Krishna is always there in so many ways to protect his devotees. So there need not be any anxiety. We see that Lord Matsya came when Vedic knowledge was lost to again give transcendental knowledge. Not only did Matsya protect the devotee in the water, but Lord Matsya protected the devotee from the ocean of ignorance. Sometimes ignorance is also compared to an ocean, because an ocean has no limits. Like you cannot see the boundaries of it. So in that way, ignorance is like that. There is no limit. It just exceeds in all directions. And one sees no way out. At one point, when we become covered by the three modes of material nature, it is no longer possible on our own strength to get free from the modes of material nature. And it is said, Andhya Dandu Puniya Manna Tetisya Tanjam Uridami Vada, that the blind are simply leading the blind. Knowledge of the Supreme Lord is lost. The blind are leading the blind, and we are just bound up in the ropes of material nature. Sometimes the gunas are, the word guna is translated as rope, not just as quality, but as rope that binds us. And one who is bound, how can he become free on his own? When one is thoroughly bound, one needs an outside party to release us from that condition. So, in this way, on one's own accord, one cannot ever understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One can speculate, and through speculation, one can possibly understand Brahman. That is possible, but one can never understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead by means of logic or reason. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is understood by mercy only. One can not know me in any other way than through devotional service. And devotional service is given by devotees. Maybe one can accidentally encounter devotional service. Like this, the story that Prahlad Maharaj in a previous life was a conditioned soul who was not biased, but somehow or other was involved with some prostitute, some lady, and looked for an abandoned or for a place somewhere in the forest to enjoy. And he found this abandoned temple, which he thought was a suitable place for him and the lady to enjoy. But in order to make that place suitable, he cleaned it first. It happened to be Nrisimha Chatradasi. So, and it happened to be an abandoned temple of Lord Nrisimhadev. And he cleansed the temple of Lord Nrisimhadev on Nrisimha Chatradasi. And as a result, he got so much benefit, although he had no idea what he was doing. It wasn't consciously performed. But still, because he performed that activity, he, in the next life, became a great devotee. So this is known as Agyata Sukriti. So the Supreme Personality of Godhead makes so many arrangements in the material world for the living being to be reminded of Krishna. And in that way, the living beings may get mercy unknowingly. Some animal may take some prasadam and the connection with devotional service is established. Or unknowingly, we may hear the holy name. Unknowingly, we may help a devotee. Excuse me, sir, could you just look after this box for a moment? When Srila Prabhupada was in America and first landed, his first program was in the YMCA, and he sat there with a box, and he was the first one in the hall. And someone came in and was speaking with him, and then as it was time, the hall filled up, and when it was Prabhupada's turn to get up and speak, he just asked this man, "Excuse me, sir, could you just look after this box for me?" "Oh, yes, of course." And then Prabhupada started to give the lecture, and then at the end of the lecture, he pointed out that he also had books, and he said, "Excuse me, sir, would you be willing to just take out a book from that box?" And the man was holding up the book. "Could you hold it up, please?" "Yes." And then in the end, Prabhupada engaged him. "Yes, yes, if you want any books, you just go to him, give him the money." And he was fully engaged in devotional service. So the devotees, the Supreme Lord, make so many arrangements. We find many, many stories of self-manifested Murtis. There are the Shalagram Shivas in the Gandaki River. Right? So many. The Supreme Lord. Endless. I mean, endless Shalagrams. And one can just... anyone who goes there can basically have a Shalagram. Of course, for Shalagram, one should... to successfully worship Shalagram, it should be authorized and should be with blessings and so on of superior authorities. But previously, all the Brahmanas were worshipping Shalagram. So in that way, the Lord manifests himself. Praying in this Narayan Kavacha to all these different deities is certainly also significant. May Vamana protect me on the land. Vamana's story is interesting because Vamana's protection was twofold. First of all, he protected the demigods because the demons had somehow or other captured the higher planetary systems. And Bali Maharaj, who was the king of the Daityas, he was seated on the throne. Bali Maharaj was the grandson of Prahlad, but somehow or other, his father, Virochana, is not known in the scriptures as a devotee. Virochana is known to be, he went together with Indra before Brahma. Indra was sent as a representative of the demigods, and Virochana was sent as a representative of the demons. And they were asking to Lord Brahma, to Prajapati, the ultimate goal of life. And there was, they performed some austerity, and then Lord Brahma manifested himself, and basically Lord Brahma explained the goal of life was to try and enjoy as much as possible in this material world. Makes sense, Virochana said. I always knew it. And confirmed. I mean, I know all about that. Yeah. I don't need to hear any more. I've got that point. So Virochana was very satisfied and went back and reported to the demons that this was the goal of life. And all the demons said, yeah, makes perfect sense. Indra, however, was not in the same mood, because Indra knew that he had tried to enjoy the senses, but it didn't always work out so well. Therefore, Indra said, this can't be it. There must be something else. There must be more. So Indra again performed austerities and had to wait again and again. And Brahma revealed himself, and eventually Brahma revealed that the real goal of life was devotional service. So in this way, Virochana is not known as a devotee. Yet, Bali Maharaj, somehow or other, although he was the king of the Daitya, so not exactly the devotee from birth, but somehow or other, there was a seed of bhakti in the heart of Bali Maharaj. There was faith. There was some faith, and that faith was awoken by his grandfather, by Prahlad Maharaj. And that faith was, he had faith in Dharma. He had faith in Dharma, because once he had given his word to Vamana, Sukra Acharya, who was a very qualified Brahman, Sukra Acharya somehow or other became covered over. Sukra Acharya, he became covered over. He had become the priest of the Daityas, and he was attached to material benefits and that he was getting from his service, and he could see. He could see this Vamana, this little dwarf Brahmana, will manifest a huge form, and he'll take everything, and nothing will be left. So in this way, Sukra Acharya then advised Bali Maharaj not to surrender. But Bali Maharaj had given his word, and then he was ready to keep it at all costs. So there showed that piety in him. Actually was carrying him, that made him render service to the Supreme Lord. Whether he was fully accepting Lord Vishnu as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and whether he had full understanding of who Lord Vishnu really was, that is maybe questioned. But anyhow, he surrendered. And certainly, at that point where he surrendered, He accepted him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he made his offering sincerely. But he was subsequently not treated very well by Varna, because although he gave everything in two steps, the three worlds were taken, then he said, so Lord Varna there said, where will I put my third step? Put it on my head. But Varna was not satisfied, and had Bali Maharaj tied up in this snake noose, which was extremely uncomfortable. He was suffocating, and he turned very weak and pale, so he was suffering very much. So that's what he got for his surrender. For his surrender, he was being strangled by a snake. So, you know. But he didn't turn angry. He didn't like, it was like, what is this? You know, I've given everything and now you're treating me like this. No. He just tolerated it and remained faithful. And after having been duly tested, Bali Maharaj was also protected by the Supreme Lord. Not only were the demigods protected by the Supreme Lord, but Bali also, because he got a planet in the Sutala planet, which is a subterranean heavenly planet. That planet was more opulent than the planet of Indra. So actually what he lost, he actually regained more than he gave. So in the end, he was also protected. So we see there are two levels of protection. One level of protection is that the Supreme Lord upholds the principles of Dharma and the order of the universe, and therefore protects the demigods. But greater than that is the protection that the Lord offers his devotee. The Lord offers his devotee, he always protects him. Now here we see that the devotees are invoking the protection of Lord Vishnu in his various incarnations, for protection from all different conditions in material life. In a sense, that kind of prayer is of a lower nature. That kind of prayer is, although auspicious, because it is taking shelter of the Supreme Lord, still it is mixed with some material interest. It is the kind of prayer that the demigods offer, the kind of prayer for protection in the material situation. Whereas the complete surrendered platform is to just depend on Krishna and let him decide, and to have that faith, raksisya titi vishvaso, to have the faith Krishna will protect me. There's no doubt about it. So whatever happens, whether I live or die, is that's kind of irrelevant. Krishna will protect me. So there's nothing to worry. Death is not in itself a great disaster. It's just a transition. And the fearful aspect of death is really what will happen, where will we go? But for a devotee, surely the Lord will take me to an auspicious destination. He will not abandon me. So there is no anxiety. In that way, one can become fearless. Avayana satrasam sudhya. And that's what we see in devotees. I remember our Sridhar Maharaj, who was having a serious problem with his liver, and he was for a few years quite ill. So I went to visit Maharaj in Bombay, where he stayed near the hospital. And when I came to the apartment where he stayed, then there was a schedule on the door. And the schedule on the door said 11 o'clock, Bhagavatam readings for 1 hour. Then a little break, then 1 o'clock, bhajans, 3 o'clock, nectar of devotion, and like that, the whole day was just scheduled with different devotional activities. So when I came in, I just mentioned to Maharaj, I said, well, it's quite a schedule you have there. He said, yes, yes, otherwise people will just talk about my liver all day. How's your liver? And yes, my liver, my liver, my liver. So that's quite a transcendental approach. And then I was just there when Gopi Paramananda Prabhu was there. And he was speaking from the commentaries on the Bhagavatam. And Srila Maharaj was just going, Gopi, Gopi, you have spent your life very well. Very well. Just studying Bhagavatam and the commentaries of Bhagavatam. It's just amazing. Amazing. And we were comparing the purports of Prabhupada to the commentaries of the Acharyas and seeing how it was relating to each other. And it was very nice to see how Prabhupada was so faithful in just representing the previous Acharyas, and yet also adding his own depth and insights. And at that time, Srila Maharaj was worshipping an intense Shaligram Shiva, an intense Nrisimha Shiva. And he had this Nrisimha Shiva with huge mouth and big teeth, and he was doing his Nrisimha Puja. So I said, so again, I asked him, Maharaj, why Nrisimha Dev? Why not Radha Krishna or something like that? Why Nrisimha Dev? He said, so that I may become fearless of death. So I appreciated that, you know, that he was such a mature devotee, you know, in our movement. And yet he was, he was simple and honest, you know. So, you know, to become, he wasn't saying, well, I fear of death, of course, you know, I've been so young for so many years. No, so to become fearless of death. And then at the end, he was so fearless of death, because he was lying on his bed and his abdomen was filled with liquid due to the problems that he had. And so in a huge, huge belly, and he's lying there on the bed, and someone touched it. His eyes were closed. Someone touched his belly. Then he opened his eyes for a moment and said, it's a boy. Which, you know, is really strong, right? If you're like on your deathbed and you just can joke about it. Very transcendental. And his servant, Mayapur, told me that on the final day, Maharaj just told him, well, today I'm going to leave my body as something like, you know, I'm going to have a little program somewhere, you know. Pleasure that day he left. So I could see that he was indeed totally fearless at the end. Yeah. Because full faith in Krishna, that Krishna will protect. He will protect. There's no question. We see that in Prahlad. Prahlad was not sweating, you know, while he was in dangerous conditions. You know, he wasn't praying in great fear, oh please, oh my Lord, please save me. No, Prahlad was always considering, my Lord will save me. He already considered it. Whatever the Lord desires is perfect. So he had that kind of sense, not the Lord will protect me, but the sense the Lord is protecting me. He's protecting me right now. So he felt protected. He wasn't sort of, I'll pray and then the Lord will protect me. Surely, because he
protect his glory as well. He is protecting me now. And in that way, Prahlad was fearless. He's always protecting me. There's a question of the Lord not protecting me. I'm living constantly under his protection. And in that way, one can be very peaceful and just feel whatever comes, that's just external. Whatever happens to the body, I am not the body. That's all. That's only things will happen to the body. And the body breaks down as we're in the body. That's what happens. First, you're small, you can't wait to become strong, then you're stronger, and finally, at the peak of your power, you know, whether it's muscle or beauty, and then it goes down again. That muscles, after a while, become flabby flesh. And beauty just disappears in wrinkles and in sunken eyes and bags under the eyes and all kinds of other disgusting things that start coming out of the body. And all kinds of things start to come out that don't smell good and are not pleasant. What to do? It's embarrassing. We are hiding that. But we are not part of it. So our movement takes us beyond this this approach of the Narayana Kavacha. Still, it is very nice to see that the Lord is everywhere, that the Lord is with us everywhere, and that the Lord manifests His strength everywhere. So we can feel reassured. And if we do are fearful, then we know, yes, the Lord, He cares. He cares very much. He cares so much for the living beings. All these incarnations of the Lord, they show that the Lord cares for the living beings in the material world. We are not abandoned. We are not abandoned at all. He is making so many arrangements for our protection. So that is very reassuring. And then, of course, there's Lord Chaitanya. And for us, that is essential, because the standards of devotional service are high. It is stated in the beginning of the Bhagavatam, there are the six questions that are asked by the sages of Nagisalam. And one of these questions is about the incarnations of the Lord, and what is the purpose for the appearance of the incarnations of the Lord. And then it says the purpose is to deliver those who are in the mode of pure goodness. But who is? Things like that's not very encouraging if you think about it. Who is? So therefore, Lord Chaitanya is very important for those who are not in pure goodness. And most of us are definitely not in pure goodness. Most of us are quite afflicted by the mode of passion, and therefore desires for sense gratification are emerging in our mind so many times a day, and in our dreams at night. And because we are in the mode of passion, we have a great desire to enjoy the material energy all the time. And so we need the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. The mercy of Lord Chaitanya is of course very great, and it touches everyone in the entire three worlds. However, the mercy of Lord Chaitanya is most manifest when we are taking up devotional service, when we become active. Srila Prabhupada made a big point about being active. Well, he doesn't speak just. First of all, he translates bhakti as devotional service. It's active. He mentions the soul is always active, and therefore we must always be engaged. And it is about actively engaging in devotional service. It is. It's that that is the key that for the protection. It is devotional service that protects us. Because the Supreme Lord, we must understand, is never alone. Krishna is always absorbed in intimate relationships with his devotees. Therefore, the true protection of the Supreme Lord is in the relationship of service. So if one passively sits there waiting for the mercy to just come, then yes, the mercy will also touch us, and it will slowly melt our heart to the point where we become active in service. It is service that is the key, because that's the relationship with Krishna. And it's the relationship with Krishna that is actually where the protection is found. So if we pray to the Lord for protection, the greatest danger is material existence. The mahatovayat, the greatest fear is the fear to fall down into material existence. And the only thing that can save us from falling down into material existence is service, nothing else. So it's the devotional service that protects us, really. And it's Mahaprabhu who offers us these opportunities for service. Well, gradually, somehow or other, brings devotional service to all living beings. And there, the more we get absorbed in that, the more Nitya Siddha Krishna Prem Sadhakabhinai Shravanani Siddha Chitta Kaya Udai, the more our original love is awakening, the more our original identity is again returning. And that identity is an identity of being Krishna Nitya Das, being the eternal servant of Krishna, and being very much engaged in love and relationship. So it's devotional service that protects us. Srila Prabhupada made that devotional service very practical. He brought that devotional service into the modern world, and basically had great faith that modern engaging modern means in the service of the Lord. It was, of course, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur who established that principle by driving in cars and things like that, and who was criticized by Babaji's who considered themselves followers of the six Goswamis. And they spoke out behind his back, but loud enough for him to hear. Is he a follower of the six Goswamis? And he turned around and snapped back and said, yes, a follower who's taking the spirit of the six Goswamis, not one who cheaply imitates them by wearing the same dress, but a follower who takes up the same mission as the Goswamis to bring transcendental knowledge everywhere into this world. So in this way, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was ready to be revolutionary, and so was Prabhupada. Prabhupada had so much faith in transcendental sound that he even had faith in the recorded sound, in records of the holy name. Even up to the day of today, there are many Brahmas who in India, or sometimes in the Gaudiya Math, who sometimes object that Prabhupada initiated devotees with a tape, gave the Gayatri Mantra with a tape. So, no, you are not initiated. No, no, because it must be spoken in the ear. The Prabhupada understood, yes, this also works. And why not? We can offer we can offer Shastric support for that. At least I could think of one thing which I'll share with you, is that when we remember that Haridas Thakur had a discussion with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Mahaprabhu, Haridas said to Mahaprabhu, "My dear Lord, please don't be in anxiety." It's how nice, right, that a devotee for a change says don't be in anxiety, instead of, you know, saying, "Oh Lord, please relieve my anxiety." So, and then he says, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in anxiety about all those living beings who could not chant. What about the living beings who are in bodies that cannot chant, like trees? What about the trees? He says, "Don't worry, my Lord. The echo of the chanting that will come off the trees is the chanting of the trees." So echo, some counts also as chanting. So a recording is an echo. It's another, it's basically an echo. Right? So the echo is the echo of the original chanting. There was original chanting, and then it's an echo of that original chanting by some mechanical means. So echoes also count as chanting. So just to support that recordings are bona fide, and that recordings of the holy name also carry the full transcendental potency. And of course, we don't doubt that. Devotees in our movement are always walking with earphones. So many devotees, day and night, listening to recordings, and the potency is very great. So, in this way, always engaged in devotional service. And Jiva Goswami points out especially the chanting of the holy name. All service must be preceded and followed by the chanting of the holy name. So this chanting is then the topmost. The topmost means of service, and ever the topmost means of protection. The one who is always chanting, he is the most protected. And therefore, to simply always chant is the best solution for all dangers. That will protect us. But you know, Thakur describes in his Svalikita Jivan that when he was his autobiography, that means when he was a child, he describes that there was a fruit tree in the garden, and it had very nice fruits, but that tree was haunted by a ghost. Everybody knew it. So what to do? Ghost or fruits? Looking at that tree. Then one day there was a maid, and she knew a lot about ghosts, and that they had eyes red like fiery coal, and so on. And she also knew that if you chant the name, the holy name, then the ghosts can't bother you. So he tried chanted, went to the tree, ate the fruits, and nothing happened. So although he was born in a family of Shaktas, of Durga worshippers, through that he developed faith in the holy name. He developed faith in the holy name. So that is the point. If we chant the holy name with faith that Krishna will surely protect us, then that gives us direct access to Krishna. Whenever we are fearful, we can always turn to Krishna through that chanting of the holy name. One who chants with faith can be sure to be protected by Krishna. Okay, any questions?
Mentioned about being actively involved
in service. Yes.
And I was wondering, will it come across as, I hope it won't come across as arrogance or something, but it's more like trying to help to make it better. Like, for example, I'll give you an example.
Yeah.
Like, I wear this, yeah, for inside.
What we have the?
Special, like, you know, special like things to wear inside, but I was thinking today, like, on the stairs, we could have left all our shoes on the stairs outside.
Yeah.
Because the festival is coming, and it means a lot of, like, inside and outside tourists will be coming. And
yeah.
August and July, it's like, really. And we could a little bit protect the temple floors and
yeah.
also the temple.
Oh, yes, we could. We could do so much more.
Yeah, that's just
fine. We could do so much more, really. And you have good ideas. And
I have a lot.
That's nice. That's nice. And sometimes, and many devotees have so many ideas, and then in the end, you know, some of the ideas the devotees will say, yes, yes, those things are practical, yes, those we will do. Some ideas they'll say, oh, well, thank you for the nice idea, but they'll never do it. And then you have to just be tolerant and think, okay, you know, at least they, even if they take one of my ideas, that is nice. Yeah, the principle is there, you're right. The temple is to be protected and is a holy place. Because this building has many functions, you know, it's like a multi functional building. It's a temple, but it is also a place where many tourists come. Right? So for the tourist to take off the shoes outside is a little, you know, it's like some people, they haven't taken off their shoes for 30 years, you know. And maybe we wouldn't even want them to take off their shoes because the socks may also smell. Right? So for practical purpose, then we say, all right, no, besides my jokes, you know, you have to read the serious message, be under the jokes, that's my nature. So to accommodate them, right, to accommodate them, we allow certain areas like the reception, we allow shoes, there's some staircase to shoes. So it's a multi-purpose. So there are some different ideas, but the principle is right. The temple must be respected by. You know, one time I was in South Africa, and one lady, she was a bit new age, and she said, you know, why is it that you have to take off your shoes when you go in the temple? And I said, like, well, it's, you know, it's some sort of out of respect, it's like cleanliness, you know, to keep the temple very clean from dust and things like that. She said, oh, I thought it was to catch the earth rays to the chakras on your feet. So there are different kinds of people, you know, different kinds of people that have so many ideas. Yeah. But anyway, to accommodate people who are not used to take off their shoes, there are areas in the castle where one can wish for the visitors. But in the ashram upstairs, I mean, put the shoes to the side, and you know, also in these rooms.
I read a lecture from Govindaswamy, and he does, in that lecture, he doesn't seem to accept that that which is recorded is Shabda Brahma, that is.
No, but Prabhupada did, so. Sometimes there are these little things, you know, these little apparent contradictions, and maybe Prabhupada had a special vision in the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, and maybe on that particular point, Guru Vinaya Maharaj is leaning a little towards the tradition. But this is just a detail. Guru Vinaya Maharaj was so deep in his attraction to Krishna and as a representative of Prabhupada, he was so deep. You see, Guru Govinda Maharaj came at a late stage in life, and he was already a very evolved Vaishnava before he met Srila Prabhupada. So he didn't learn everything from Srila Prabhupada. So sometimes he may say something that seems to be a little different from Srila Prabhupada. Because he basically came, received sannyas from Prabhupada, and then went on preaching. But he was so deep. So when we see such little apparent differences, just overlook. Don't make a big thing about it.
The other question is, do you think there is a difference if one is listening
Yes, I will. She's saying, do I think there is there a difference if one listens to his own, to recorded lectures, or if one sits in the assembly of the Vaishnavas? Yes, it is. In the assembly of the Vaishnavas, there's also opportunity for discussion. And that discussion is very, very valuable. Like now, we have some discussion, and some things come out in these discussions. So, yes, that is valuable. Yes. The discussion is good because sometimes when we are alone, we just filter everything through our own ideas. You know, whatever you hear, you filter it through your own ideas. You already have ideas in your mind and you hear things. And go, oh, yes, yes, yes. I know that point. Yes, 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 of course. That's how you understand it. And then when we hear it from a speaker, then sometimes we hear it explained in a different way. And then in the discussions, it's clarified more. So that's why these discussions are important, because they sort of give us a different perspective sometimes and broaden our understanding and deepen our understanding. Yes. Why did Lord Brahma, in the story of Virochan and Indra, give two different explanations on the purpose of life? Because Lord Brahma is very intelligent. Lord Brahma is known as the most intelligent living entity in the entire universe. So Lord Brahma could very well understand the mentality of the demigods and the mentality of the demons. And he could understand that the demons were not ready for transcendental knowledge. And therefore, he did not give them so easy access to it. And he wanted first some seriousness of intention before he was really going to reveal transcendental knowledge. So it is like that, in that, like, generally speaking, a person has to show some favorable inclination, and then we're gonna tell him, give him transcendental knowledge. To preach to the faithless is not is the ninth offense against the holy name, mentioned in the Bhakti Purana. So we can give people some general idea, chant the holy name, you know, you're not this body, you're eternal spirit. So at that level, we kind of give to everyone. But still, when a person is envious, then the Madhyama Adhikaris, the preachers, they avoid such a person. They're looking for the innocent. So they also look for some prior qualification, not just give everything to those who are envious. So the demons are envious. So Lord Brahma was in that way careful and put like a little test which Indra passed because of his piety and his thinking deeper about the goal of life. And therefore being inquisitive, he was therefore a suitable candidate. So one must look who is suitable. But the mercy of Lord Chaitanya is, you know, is reaching out to people. Nobody is suitable, practically speaking. Yeah? So therefore, now we are trying to give anyone and everyone the mercy. But, okay, the name, the holy name, yes, for everyone. basic conclusion of Bhagavad Gita for everyone, but then, you know, believe it. But you can see, when you preach the message of Bhagavad Gita, sometimes we get trouble with that, you know, because there are people who are saying, oh, the Bhagavad Gita is a book that incites people to kill their family members. Yeah? That's many professors who have written about that, you know, connected to anti-cult movements. Right? So you can see, sometimes even the message of the Gita can be troublesome. Just chain heart. So Lord Brahma could have told Virochana, Chen Hare Krishna, but that he did not do, because it was a different yuga.
Yeah. Oh, small question, Maharaj. First, you mentioned that devotional service is the key for protection, and at the end of your speech, you said chanting is
yes.
The key. So it's a combination now, because if you chant in faith, full faith,
okay.
Is that enough, or do you have to combine it?
I think everyone heard the question. yes, I mean, Arias Thakur was able to chant exclusively because he was so exalted. Because we are not so exalted, and we cannot chant like Hari does, then there's another. Then we need all these other services. And then, Srila Prabhupada even made it practical for us modern people that we can use all these modern things. Like we use cars, which are demoniac machines.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They pollute the air, they kill, you know. I mean, how many innocent living creatures are killed when you drive a car? The whole windshield is full of insects, birds, you know, rabbits, so many. Cars are demonic machines, but we can use in the service of Krishna. Yeah. So that's the license of Lord Chaitanya and of acharyas like Srila Prabhupada, that we can do so. And then it becomes very accessible to us. Therefore, we, you know, everyone likes to play with computers in this day and age, and now we can play the whole day with computers and somehow or other connected with Krishna. And we send each other mails about Krishna, and we just type, and we just read on the thing, and we make pictures of Krishna, so that we can dovetail our propensities to play with these computers. Whereas, you know, if you take it back, like a little more traditional Vrindavan Vaishnavas, right? It would be like, you know, inconceivable, you know, total, like, you know, I mean, they wouldn't get involved with anything like. Most of the time, just chant. Yeah. So, for the modern world, yes. All these other things, yes. Let's use them. Because we want to. I imagine. No computer. And we are not speaking about you, we're speaking about all of us. Our world is into the game. But no computer games. Because there are no Krishna conscious computer games yet. Are there? There are?
Yeah, I heard some.
What do we believe? What?
For his little man, for his child, for his son, like some Krishna.
Huh?
Yeah, on the computer, he was talking to me about that.
What is that?
Yeah, there were some computer games on Krishna conscious computer.
Wow.
I had to collect cows and all.
Wow.